So, interesting days and times we live in right now. Indeed, and I think that song is very appropriate because it talks about shaking up the ground of all our tradition. God's doing something new in the earth today, and He's doing something new in His people. And so if you are walking with Him and you're sensing that He's shifting some things around, He's doing it for a reason. I think God's just tired of religion, and He's looking for a real relationship with people and really asking people, will you go the distance with me? Will you go the distance? Not so much of what I can do for you, but who I am and who I want to be in your life. And so there's a switch that's happening, that's coming right now, and you can feel it. There's a separating of the wheat and the chaff. There's a separating of people who just say they're a Christian as opposed to people who are really walking it. And God's really putting out a demand and a call and saying, listen, if you love me, follow me. And that is something that you're going to have to answer. Only you can answer. Because where God is leading you, He may not be leading me. But He's leading us somewhere. And I believe that in these times that we're in right now, that it's important that we really begin to understand what it means to walk in power, love, and self-discipline. You hear that here at our church a lot, because those are the things that we feel like God has impressed upon our hearts as far as understanding what that looks like. Because the Holy Spirit being poured out in the last days, it involves you. Mm-hmm. Yes. You know that, right? It involves you. And so if you're not in a position of where you're ready to receive, it's going to be hard to actually give out. Mm-hmm. And so we have times like this where we can really sense God's presence, but it's really about going out and then being a conduit of His blessing to who He's sending us to. And if you don't think that God is sending us to somebody, you're misreading the times. Because there are people right now who desperately need what you have. And you look at the news, and the reality of it is this. People say, don't look at the news. You need to look at the news. And you need to get a gauge and discern the times that we're in. And allow the Holy Spirit to help you filter what you're seeing. Because if you don't, then you could have a detachment to what's taking place and don't realize that God has called you to actually thrive and live in the middle of it. And you can miss out on the opportunity. Now, for some of us, that means just using wisdom. And allowing God to speak to us on what's real and what's not real. Regardless, He can give you the filter that you need. And let me just give an example. There are things happening in our neighborhoods right now that need the presence of God. Most of us have seen what's happening in the nation today. That is not necessarily going to stop on a dime and be like, well, it's all gone. There is an increasing attitude of lawlessness that's happening. And the Spirit of God right now is really awakening His people. And I believe paving the way for a great outpouring. Yeah, right. And that means that you, as the children of God, have to be ready and have to clean out your closets of fear. Yes. You have to clean them out. And I believe that it's one of the things that God has been challenging me to really challenge people is this. You have to get over the fear of what might happen.
Right. Yeah, so good.
Because if you don't, you will rob yourself of the life that God has called you to live. The freedom that God has called you to live, but also in the faith that God has called you to live, because you're afraid about what might happen to your life. Here's the deal. Your life is not your own anymore. And we like to quote that. But when push comes to shove, and then when fear comes knocking at your door, what do you do with it? What do you do with it? And today on Father's Day, it's important that we celebrate fathers. We really celebrate men. And we celebrate women also. But I want to point out just a few things before we get into this today that just a reminder of who we are in Christ that I think is important. The book of Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22, it says, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. As He was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on Him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son, whom I love, in you. And with you, I am well pleased. What's fascinating about this is that before Jesus did anything, ministerially wise, God the Father said, I love you and I'm pleased with you. And until we can get that right, we'll always walk around with some anxiety, thinking that God is somehow displeased with me because of things that I'm doing in my life. Now, God does not wink at sin. There are consequences for it. But when God created you, He created you with a specific purpose in mind in His image. And I like this story because it really tells us one thing. It says, you're loved. You're loved. I'm pleased with you. And some of you need to hear that today, that God is pleased with you, that he loves you. Because we can take that equation out of it when it comes to testing or it comes to persecution and things happening. Well, God doesn't love me. It has nothing to do with God doesn't love me. God's setting you up for something. And the more I live, the more I realize that the Christian walk is about testing. It's not about arrival. I know where I'm going, but it's about testing. Because if Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tested before he was released into ministry, then I'm going to follow his example. I'm going to be tested. Now, before I'm tested, I have to know I'm loved. Because if I don't, I will mistake that testing for the fact that God is now absent from my equation, because it's involving me now dealing with things that I'm not comfortable dealing with, having to use faith that I haven't necessarily used before, having to combat the enemy on levels that I have not combated him before. And if I'm not careful, I will equate what I'm going through with, well, God doesn't love me. It has nothing to do with God's feeling toward me. God loves me, that's why I am being tested. God loved Jesus, that's why he was tested. I'm a fighter, so I'm going to be fought. So if I'm called, there's going to be things that are come against me that are not going to come against the normal person. Okay? So as a Christian, understanding that when I signed up and I said yes, and that means I meant yes to the process. No, yeah, I did. It did. But I don't remember signing that. Well, you didn't sign it. He signed it with his blood. And so he took you from where you were at and said, okay, now we're going to clean you up and you're going to become more like me. Look back at your life right now and look back over your life and over the years on how and where you've come from and where you are now. You are light years from where you were. Mm-hmm. Light years. You understand more about the goodness and the grace of God than you ever have before. Mm-hmm. And it has how God has shielded you and as he's been sufficient in these seasons to help you navigate through the difficulties. Because anytime you talk about becoming a Christian, you talk about becoming not privy to the information that you need all the time. You have to be comfortable walking into the unknown. And the Bible calls it being strange or fiery trials and things that are happening I don't understand. That's just par for the course. And so if you're trying to figure it out and nail it down, you're not going to figure it out and nail it down. You can get a grace quotient where God says, hey, my grace is sufficient. And I could show you some things about who you are, but don't try to figure out what I'm doing all the time. It'll drive you crazy. It'll drive you crazy. Can you imagine if Jesus pulled back and said, well, God doesn't love me, so I can't finish this testing. It was because he was loved that he went through. So today, because you're loved, you can get through. Okay? Do you understand that? Because you're loved. If you didn't have that sense, it'd be difficult to get up and go again. Because you know you're going into a battlefield and you're going into a minefield sometimes that there are casualties, there are things that take place, you lose people, you lose certain aspects of who you are because God is doing such a supernatural work in your life, it's hard to grasp and understand. You understand that I have to know that I'm loved. If nothing else, I'm loved. That'll get you going. That'll get you going. And if you're honest in here, you said that to yourself. All I know, I'm loved. That's all I know. And that'll get you going. So first thing, you're loved. We got that. Second thing, Gary, put up that verse for me if you please. Book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 4. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight in love. The second thing is this, you're chosen. Chosen. It means that God selected you and said, listen, I'll have that one for myself. And that should give you encouragement to know above anything else that you didn't choose God, but God said, I choose you. And if I choose you, then the pressure is off me to try to conform to something that I think I have to conform to because it wasn't my doing in the beginning. It was God's doing. He called me for his bidding. And if he did that, then I know that he's going to perform the work. I have a responsibility to engage and to stay in the work, yes, and to be part of the process that God does it. But it is on Him to finish it so that I can be ready and fit and be presented one day to Him. And so I know that I'm chosen. So when the enemy comes in and says, I don't really know what God's doing, but you know what? Hold on. I'm chosen. So I can stand in the fact that I'm a son or daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and be okay with that, because I know that if God started it, He's going to finish it. Remember, He chose us in Him before it even started. So when it started, I already knew He already had a plan when it started. I already knew that He knew how to fix it and figure it out before it started. That's why we talk about the sin issue being taken care of before it even entered into the world. God said, I already have a plan. That in itself should just cause you to trust God more with the reality of your life or the outcome of your life, because He said, I already made a way before you decided to go your own way. I already did. So I already knew in my heart that I was going to conform you to my image before I even created you. And you don't want to get too deep into that, because it'll start to mess with your mind a little bit. Because then what people do is they take privilege and then they throw responsibility out. And they say, well, I'm saved, I don't have to do nothing. That's false. You have a responsibility as a Christian. So you're loved, you're chosen. All right? Third thing. I love corded mics. Thank you, Lord, for corded mics. Go ahead, Gary, put that scripture up for us. Ephesians 2:6. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him and the heavenly realms of Christ Jesus. Here's the third thing. You're seated. That means that you have a seat at the table. So I want to help you understand today that that is privilege. When I sit at the table at my house, I am sitting there as the man of the house, but have earned the right to sit there because being the father, being a husband, but first and foremost, but knowing that God has placed me there as a man to lead my family, I am privileged. I don't have to tell anybody. I don't have to excuse myself from the table. When I'm ready to get up, I'll get up. So understand this. That means for me that I have a responsibility in my relationship with Christ to foster communication with Him. If I'm at the table, ever been to a restaurant and you've been this, and maybe it's sad to you, and you look over and there's a couple. You've been there the whole time eating. This couple has not said a word to each other. And you're saying to yourself, this is awkward. Because all they're doing is eating, looking down, eating, looking up. Nothing's going on. And you know you're saying to yourself, either A, they hate each other, okay? Or B, maybe they're so comfortable that their presence is just okay. Right? So I would say it this way. I would say for us, you need to know that you have a seat at the table, that when Jesus looks at you, He said, listen, it's okay. You're with me. You're my son. You're my daughter. And that means that you are privileged to conversations that other people are not privileged to. There is stuff that happens around your dinner table that does not happen in other places. Time for intimacy and communication that doesn't take place necessarily at a restaurant or even at a church, because it's family time. And it's the same way in your relationship with Christ. There is stuff that happens around that table with you and Jesus that doesn't happen anywhere else. The Bible says that you are in the realm of the Spirit right now if the Spirit of God lives inside of you. So you have an ear to what the Spirit of God is saying to the church, you being the church, because of the fact that you are in the realm of the Spirit. You are tuned in now to a different frequency. And so when God speaks to you about things, He's speaking to you on a different level. He's not necessarily speaking to you on a natural level anymore, because your natural ear couldn't hear what the Spirit of God was saying. But because He gave you a new nature, and now the Spirit of God lives inside of you, He speaks to you on a different level. So you have to change that frequency so you can get tuned in to what's happening in the spirit realm, so that when God speaks to you about something, that you're able to digest it, process it, and say, okay, Lord, I get what you're seeing there. Because when He sees something, He sees it different than when you see it. So the way the world sees it is different than the way you see it. It should be. So when things happen in the world right now, they should not take you by surprise. Because He said, I will show you things to come. So when God is showing you things to come and say, hey, listen, this is what I told you about, you're like, you know what? You did tell me about that. And it causes me to trust more because I'm not living now in the natural realm anymore. I am living by the Spirit of God that's living inside of me. That's why it's unnatural for me to walk any other way. So when you want me to walk in a natural way and walk according to the flesh, it's contrary to what the Spirit of God is speaking to me. That's why there's such a battle and a war that's taking place. Amen. So you cannot take natural things and try to accomplish spiritual things with them. It just doesn't work that way. It doesn't work. So you have to engage in a relationship with Him where conversations are taking place. You know the conversation when that voice behind your ear says, hey, this is probably the way to walk in that. Walk in that way because there's a different way that I'm taking you. I'm not taking you the other way. I don't want the other way. I want this way. That's why you have to get into a place of where you're regularly dialoguing with Him. You've got to get up to headquarters and find out what's the general saying. That's why you don't have time, the Bible says, not to get entangled with the affairs of civilian life as soldiers of Jesus Christ. You know what that means? As a soldier, he said, listen, I'm going to use an example. Don't get so entangled with civilian affairs that you miss out on the mission. What the real mission is. Okay, the real mission is, yeah, one day we're going to be with Jesus. That hasn't happened yet. But along the way, I have to get the details that I need to walk to make sure that my mission is accomplished. Because there is a mission. There is one. And so as soldiers being called into the battle, you have to hear what the orders are. Well, I want to go this way. God says, I don't want you to go that way. I want you to go this way. Because you're seated. Now, it changes if you decide to prematurely walk and do what you want. And then decide, you know what? I've had enough of this table. I'd rather jump and go to another one. That's what happens today in society, especially with men who are in their families. And they say, you know, I've had enough of this one. I want to try something else. It's not doing it for me anymore. And the grass looks greener, but it's never greener grass on the other side. It's always brown. You just choose not to see the brown. If you can't deal with, don't, okay. All right, so. If you can't deal with the brown that's in your own family, how are you expect to go out and deal with the brown that's in the other family? Amen?
That's good.
God would say, I'd rather you stay and deal with that. And find fulfillment and joy in the fact that you stayed and persevered when you didn't want to, as opposed to having to start all over and bring your problems somewhere else. Why would I want you to do that? And then ruin that person's life. And but not just that, but then get outside of my will and you want to do your will. Just for a fleeting pleasure. Because green always fades. It always fades. So in talking about this idea of power of staying, we are talking about the power of staying today. Number one, knowing that I'm staying in the fact that I'm loved. Number one, okay? Number two, I'm saying the fact that I'm chosen, okay? And three, I'm seated. So there's staying power on that. Thank you, Lord. But now, in the practical sense, talking to men and understanding the power of staying in the responsibility that God has given you. Yeah. You have a responsibility to lead your family as well. Now, I'm not just talking about men and families. If you're not married, it's okay as a man. I'm going to hit on a few things today. You have a responsibility to take care of your body physically. You have it. If you're a single man, no woman wants to look at you when you're out of shape. People are attracted to people, and, oh, it's not Christian to say. It's like, well, he doesn't have to look good, or she doesn't. I just want to know that they have inner beauty. The reality of it is you want someone who looks good, and you want someone who also loves God.
Yes.
Okay? And God's not dumb. Okay, when Adam was created, and also Adam looked and said, I like that. Okay? It's the same way. And she, yes, well, she was naked, yes. Okay? But at the same time, but, and we, okay, that's another thing for another day. But this, but look at your own self. But look at your own life. God said, you have a responsibility to take care of yourself physically. So if you're trying to have a relationship with other people, take care of yourself. It's like this. My pet peeve is, it would be if I go into a dentist and he has bad teeth. He's not taking care of himself. I'm walking right out. I'll do my own teeth. If I'm going in to work out and I want to get in shape, I want to go into an in-shape trainer, not someone who's struggling. Okay? Why? Because I know that they take time and they take their profession seriously, and it makes me say, you know, I can trust that person because I see that they're on their own journey and they take their fitness seriously. Okay? Now, anything can get out of balance. But I'm saying physical aspect is important, and if you don't think that's important, you're lying to yourself. It is. When you don't feel good, physically, emotionally, you don't feel good. So take care of yourself physically. That's why we put a high priority on physical health here, so that we can feel better about ourselves. And so as males, take care of yourself. Okay? Get yourself ready for what God wants to do in your life. Don't get to the point where it's like, well, when it happens, I'll be ready. Nah, you've got to be ready and start getting yourself ready now. My girls are talking about marriage now. My girls are talking about jobs now and what they want to do, because it's already in them thinking, hey, maybe God has called me to do this. I like this. And trying to help them navigate toward where God may be leading them in the future. It starts now. Now. And it's the same way with you as women. Get ready now to be a bride.
Yeah.
Okay? Get ready now to be successful. So the physical attraction is a real thing. It's a real thing. Second thing, men, you have a responsibility to take care of your emotional well-being. You have to. No woman wants to come in and have to deal with the boy side of you. It's a process that the women are like, shh, amen, amen. Yeah. It's a process. Now, here's the deal. Here's the deal. As men, we have it. We have those tendencies. But what I'm saying is that in order for God to come up and allow access so that he can deal with those boyish tendencies so that we can become who he's called us to be as men. That means not looking somewhere else when it gets uncomfortable. That means not abdicating responsibility when it becomes too hard. That means when you say that I love my wife, that you actually love your wife, and you said you're going to do something for your kids, you're going to do something for your kids. Because they expect it. And so it's allowing him access to take care of those tendencies that we have. Paul said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. And that's a process I believe that God deals with us as men, because he wants us to become the men, the mature men that he's called us to become, so that we can represent him in the earth today. Real men. Real men. So we have a responsibility emotionally. That means that when we feel like we're not getting our needs met emotionally, we go to the source, number one, him. And say, okay, Lord, I need you to come satisfy this area of my life that I feel like is not being met. And I know that only you can meet it anyway. Yeah. And once I begin to do that, he helps me and helps me deal with some of that stuff. And so that I can continue to move forward and realize my source is in him. My source is not anybody else. Right. So as men, that's where we have to get to. We're number one, he's my source. Yeah. He's got to be. No one else is. I value the relationships that I have, but he's the only one who can satisfy me completely and help me deal with things that need to be dealt with in my life. Make sense to you? Yeah. Emotionally is a big deal, okay? And that means facing your shadow regularly. Facing things that come up in your life regularly and say, okay, where's that coming from? And allow the Lord to help you deal with it. Okay, third thing is this. We talk about spirituality, especially in our walk with Christ, doing hard things. What is he asking us to do, men, that is hard? But nevertheless, we have to do it anyway. It's hard. The world is looking for leaders right now. Leaders. Yeah. Leaders. That means a leader, by definition, or if you would talk to someone, would be someone who goes out before and paves a way. Okay? Makes a way. Okay? Regardless of what you say about the president, okay? Going out and making a way. Okay? Where there seems to be no way. Regardless of whether you like the person or you don't like the person, look at the job being done. And look at the results and say, you know what? He's making a way. Okay? So, as men, making a way. Where is God asking me to forge a new path? And am I willing to go on that path? As men. Because God has called me to lead. Because people are looking for leaders who forge a path. With men, women are looking for that. Women are looking for a man who can lead. Who says, you know, I don't necessarily know where God is taking us, but I'll be the first one to step right out in front, take the bullet, pave the way, paint my face, do what I already have to do to take it. Because I know that's where God is calling us to be. As a man, I'm called to lead. I am the head and not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. See yourself the way God sees you so you can stop looking at yourself like the enemy wants to look at you, or he wants you to look at yourself, and you never rise up to meet the challenge. You are capable of meeting the challenge. You are capable of swinging the sword of the Spirit. You are capable of putting up that shield of faith. You are capable of walking in soundness of mind. You are capable in doing a hard thing and overcoming. You are capable in struggling and winning. You're capable. You're capable. You're capable. I can't do that. I may not be able to do it, but you know what? I know someone who can. Do you think Paul knew how to do everything he was doing? We're talking about pioneers and a man who led. We read the New Testament, thank you, Paul. But he learned. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, because I saw what it was to have much. I saw what it was to have little. And now I learned the secret. I can do everything. When I'm blessed, and when I don't feel like I'm blessed with what I necessarily need, it's okay. I can do all things. Because it's not about material things. He says, I have what I need inside. Yeah. So to pave the way. You got it. You got it. And what does that mean? That means you might have to stand up to some stuff in order for you to see that you have it.
Yeah.
Do you hear that? And that's what God asks us to go into. Sometimes when God asks us to do something, it's just about you seeing that you can do it.
Yeah, that's right.
My wife went to college, started 5 years ago. God knew that she could do it. He needed her to see that she could do it. So that she could take off the limitations of her own mind and say that it's possible. God loves you. He has a plan for you. But it's not going to come without you facing some stuff. That's just the way it is. And once you get done facing one thing, guess what? Another thing pops right back up, because God wants you to see. You can overcome that one. I'll let you overcome this one, because I'll always lead you to victory in me. I'll always lead you. And we'll just keep knocking things down the whole way home. That's just who God is, because he gives strength to us. It should be exciting. There should be an element of excitement in your life to say, okay, I got through that one. What's next? Because of what it produces in you. It's producing something in you that is not produced any other way besides you getting up and going up against it. It doesn't happen with... Go down. It happens with you getting up and speaking to it. Struggling with it. I think some of us don't struggle enough with it sometimes. Think about it. We don't struggle enough with it in order to get what we need out of it. Because it's not about me leaving a situation or abdicating my responsibility when it gets hard. It's about me leaning in and saying, no, wait a minute. There's something different I need to see about this. There it is. I saw it. Had nothing to do with the other person. Had everything to do with me saying, no. You need to wrestle through that, because it's more in you than you think. Isn't that why we do the things that we do here in this church? Isn't that why we do the things that we do? We preach the things that we preach, because there's always more in us than what we think, because the Spirit of God makes us strong in the midst of our weakness, and God allows us to be tempted at times. Well, he doesn't tempt. No, we are tempted at times, but always provides us that way of escape so that we can stand up against it, so that he can show you that, number one, without me, you won't make it, but number two, you're stronger than you think. So how are you supposed to overcome temptation if it never comes in and you never face it? God's not going to take that out. He didn't take it out in the garden. It would have been easier when he created Adam and Eve and said, eat of everything you got. I got everything here. Eat of it all. God said, no. I'm putting a tree right in the middle Don't touch it. To test them. They were tested right off the bat. And they were tested at creation. You don't think you're going to be tested now when all creation's... The Bible talks about in bondage. And those tests get harder. One thing that you see, especially as you're navigating a homeschooler or as kids begin to grow and they're doing different things, the tests get harder. They don't get easier. Because their testing levels are where they expect you to be so that you can, in their eyes, pass and get to the next place. But those tests don't get easier. And it's just like life. The tests don't get easier. If anybody tells you that, they're lying to you. They don't get easier because the Bible says narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. Not broad, narrow. So it's going to get harder. So that means when persecution comes, it's going to get harder. So if you're not tested on this level, how can God expect you to pass the test on this level when it really gets hard? Well, I thought this was the Great Tribulation. It's not the Great Tribulation. We've been in rumors of wars and wars for years. The Bible talks about those being the birth pains, the beginning. We're in that process, and I'm not arguing with you whether or not he's coming back soon or he's not. All I know is that, yes, the Bible talks about him praying and us praying, Lord Jesus, come quickly. We are closer now than ever before. Things are happening wholeheartedly, I believe, and God is coming back for his church without spot or blemish and getting people ready. Absolutely. Absolutely. You have to be in that phase where I believe that's why right now he's separated, just like these rows. You're either for me, thank you very much, sorry guys, or you're against me. Okay? That's just the way it is. Right now, he needs it. He needs it that way. I need you to be in with me. And it's not that God doesn't love you. He loves you. That's why it calls out and says, today is the day of salvation. Come on. Because I know I'm coming quickly. I'm coming for you. I want you to be with me. But I need you to be able to stand up under the pressure and not leave your post when it gets hard. When you spend all your life following me and all of a sudden you decide, I can't do it anymore. Don't leave. Stay with me. That's what I'm looking for. Do you know why he can speak to that? Because he knew how it felt when he was on the cross. When he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He knows what it's like to feel abandoned. He knows what it's like to feel lonely. He understood it. And I believe that was a picture. And God was just showing him how it felt separation-wise, not just with him and his son, but for us and him. Do you think God wants us to be separated from him? No. Like God some, I'll tell you what, let's separate him. Let's make a huge chasm. Let's separate them so they'll never be able to come to me. That's not God's heart. If that were the case, then he wouldn't have sent Jesus into the world for us. He knew there had to be someone. A good father sent his son for you. And we say, I don't know. I just don't know if it's worth it. And I can look in this room. Most of you in here are well beyond in years when it comes to maturity in Christ. Well beyond. There is no excuse for anybody in this room to ever turn away from him. No excuse. If you do, God bless you. Like, there's no excuse. As a father who comes in and says, look what I took you from, look what I saved you from, look what I gave you, look at your position, look at my grace, look at all these things, look at the conversations that we have, what I'm showing you. Don't turn away from me. Where are we going to go? Peter said, where are we going to go? You are the words of eternal life. There is no place to go. You know the truth now. And the Spirit of God is constantly calling out as we get ready to close. Constantly calling out. Micah, come on, I'll play in the background for me. And just saying, hey, come to me. If he's drawing you in, it's for a reason. I want to shelter you, I want to protect you. But I don't want you to believe the lie that life is supposed to be comfortable, that life is supposed to be easy. That is not God's heart for mankind. Me and Maria were talking the other day, and we came up with this word called freality. We're free, but we have to deal with reality. I'm free to do what I like to do. But the reality of it is, I'm not going to. Because the reality of it is that Jesus loves me, He's chosen me, and I'm seated in heavenly places, and we're speaking about stuff, and I have no business doing certain things. It wouldn't be beneficial for me. It wouldn't be beneficial for me to turn my back on the one who spread out his arms for me. How can I do that? We're going into the situation right now where we're in the series and trying to discover our why. And the reality of it is if I really get down to it, it's because that he came after me. How am I supposed to turn my back from someone whose hands are constantly out and saying, I got you, man. Come back here. I'm the one. You remember the time I healed you? You know that time where it was so dark? I'm the one who was your light. Remember that? How am I supposed to turn my back on the light when I look back at my own life and how deficient I was? Stupid I was. And look back and turn away from someone whose grace has always been sufficient, who cleaned me up, who helped me heal my body, heal my mind, is healing my body, is healing my mind, helped me to see right. Where are you going to get that? Where are you going to get that? I'm going to find a man. You know what? You're going to find a man and you're going to lose him. Because you're going to look to that man, and only Jesus can have what you need. World has it so backwards. You're jumping around from relationship to relationship thinking you're going to find fulfillment. And I think until you finally get to the point and says, you know what? No one, no person can do it for me. They can't do it. I can't do it. The only person who can do it is Jesus. And when I see that, guess what? I'm less dependent. And it makes people uncomfortable when you say that. Because, like, oh, you don't need me? Not really. I mean, I mean, I love you. because when you think about it, it's like, no. I value my relationship with you. Okay. It's supposed to be that way. It's supposed to. For this reason, a man leaves. Okay? Daughters grow up and they leave. God said, I've made it this way. And I want to teach you in the process that whether they're coming or they're going, I'm still good. So I'm less needy today than I was yesterday. And until we can get that, and that's inner healing that has to come. Inner healing has to come there. To where we know that my satisfaction has to come in Him and Him alone. And that if He decided that it was my time, exit the stage, man. People get freaked out about that stuff because they think, well, what about my life? What about your life? It's not yours. I don't know. But listen, Christians mess this up in their head. They mess it up. It's like the gospel becomes, oh, I need it. Whatever the gospel wants, it's give me, give me, give me, give me. And Jesus is like, well, what about me? What about me? What do I want? Let's make the switch. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love, your compassion. It doesn't fail us. It doesn't fail us. You give us the grace that we need to overcome. Grace upon grace. We thank you that it's sufficient. We thank you for the men that you called to be men, not just men, but leaders, to lead. And also the women, to lead. Thank you for the fact that we're loved first and foremost by you. You've chosen us, that we have a seat at the table. Thank you that we're able to walk hand in hand with you, for saving us from where we came from, for continuing to save us. Give us the grace, give us the right mind that we need to see correctly. For those in here who are struggling, God, help them to yield more of themselves to you, to know that, you know, their life is not their own, it's yours. And I pray that you would bring healing into their life emotionally. Healing into their life, even when it becomes to their identity. So that they can rise up and face the giants that you called them to win and conquer over. Thank you on this Father's Day that you are the one true Father. There is no one besides you. You gave us your best, your Son. And in return, Father, say we give our lives back to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love you guys. Hey, listen, it's a different service today. It was, but he's just going to play a little bit on the way out. You guys are more than welcome just to sit and just kind of, if you want to sit instrumental, that's no problem there. But we're going to formally dismiss service. And on the way out, though, today, all the men in here are getting a little suitcase. Aww. Okay. It's a little suitcase, and there's some candy inside of here. Okay, by the way. Okay. Because we talked about this message being called Unpack, and just unpacking who we are in Him, but also unpacking the treasure that we have in our relationship with Him. So that when you take this with you, to know that He's always with you, but where He's called you to stay, stay. And when He's called you to pack up and say, hey, it's time to go again, pack up, time to go again. Whatever season that you're in your family, husbands, jobs, until God's grace lives, that's where you are. We are. So we love you guys on the way out. Make sure you take one. Every father, happy Father's Day. We love you. Every man, God's got good things for you. We love you, women, too. We'll hit you next year. Bye.